We are doing Megillah. We're up to Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara had questioned, how could it be that Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that Esther eina mitamata yadayim, if Shmuel himself said that Esther was said with Ruach HaKodesh? The Gemara answered, Shmuel held that Esther was said to be read, but not written. And we'll do Tosas on top of the page, top left. Tosafot was a generation, was a group of academies, a group of rabbis. It wasn't a specific rabbi. The Tosafot were the comments of the rabbis, primarily of Europe. We're talking about France and Germany and Paris, you know, Rimi Paris. You have in England, right? There are tractates where we know which one of the Baalei Tosfot is the one that's primarily quoted on the page. But there are tractates where we don't. So on the one hand, we generally assume that the Tosfot are consistent. We generally do treat it like a specific individual. On the other hand, Tosfot will sometimes quote. Rabbeinu Tam says this, Ri says that, Rashbam says this, Rabbein Hananel says that. And sometimes we also say two different Tosas can have two different opinions. Generally, we don't say that, especially in one Masechet. We generally try to go with the assumption that Tosas is consistent. But remember that Tosas is not one person. No, but Tosas quotes him.
So some of the Tosas from England before they expelled the Jews?
Yeah. We have a Tosas Chachmei Anglia. We have a whole book called the Tosfos.
Was after they returned? You're talking about like the 1100s.
I don't know. I don't know enough about the history. I don't know. So the Tosfos says, "Nemra likrot velo lichtov." Shmuel holds Esther. The Megillah was said over in prophecy as something that should be read but not written. Mashma. The Savar, it seems that he holds the Mutalikot al Peh, that you could read it by heart, right? If the Megillah was recounted to be read but not written, then you could read it by heart, right?
When recounted, it was said in the book.
Yeah. Vekashe, so that seems difficult. Hechi palig al stam Mishnah. How could Shmuel be arguing with a plainly stated Mishnah, Dilkaman de Perik Peh? Says later on in the second chapter, the Tani, that the Mishnah says there, Kral pelo yatsa. If you've read it by heart, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. The Rav Nami Yehuda amar lekaman shetzich lechotva veletofra begedin. And Rav also, he's the one that holds that you have to write it and sew it up with sinews. Rav Yochanan Nami deim kra ben haktuvim lo yatsa. Rav Yochanan says if you have a Megillah that's part of a Bible, it's part of a Tanakh, it's not its own work. It's Megillah Ketuvah ben Haketuvim. Lo yatsa, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. So what, he argues on everyone? So that doesn't seem to work, right? And we said in the beginning of the sugya that Rav and Rav Yochanan, they hold that the rabbis didn't want to write down the Megillah until they found the source for it. So Tosa says we have to explain otherwise. Lekach nireh lefaresh. Therefore, it would seem right to explain that kamalon nalikatev beruach hakodesh means that in prophecy it was not given as a prophecy that God said you should write down. Av midravanani nalikatev. But he too agrees that it was instituted as something that should be written, but it was a rabbinic institution. Shmuel holds that Megillas Esther as a Megillah is not part of the Tanakh. It's prophecy that was given. It was said in prophecy. But God never said, write it down. All the other books of Tanakh, God said, write down. So here we see a very important indication from Tosas. We understand, we had the Gemara earlier in Megillah. The Gemara said the Jews had over 600,000 prophets. And only the prophecies that have an eternal message were written down. The Gemara did not say explicitly there, who decides which prophecy has an eternal message? Who decides what should be written down? From this Tosas we see a very important point, that part of the 24 books of Tanakh is that God said, write this down. We know that only about Megillat Echa, Megillat Eicha, it says in Yirmiyahu, God set them write it down. Fine, so we know. But everything else, who said they should ever write it down? So we quoted Reb Chaim last night, the Reb Chaim from Baba Basra, about the difference between Nevuim and Ketuvim and the approval of the Sanhedrin that this prophecy should be written down. We discussed that. But this Tosus gives us a new indication. Every book other than Megillat Esther, according to Shmuel, and according to the way we pass in every book, including Megillat Esther, was given not only as prophecy, but also with the commandment, and write this down. So the Navi only tells us that about Eicha. By Eicha, it says in the book Yirmiyahu, Hashem told Yirmiyahu to tell Baruch ben Neriah, write down what I'm telling you. So he did. Okay. Tosus says it's...
distinction. So we're making distinction that even from that actually Krota, as opposed to Tova, that to be written down, that the actual context was given the Nevuah, the context was given the Nevuah, that's what we're saying.
The words of the Megillah were given in prophecy, but God never said write it down.
The command to write it down on paper was not.
To make a Megillah wasn't given in prophecy.
Every other Megillah, obviously you have to write it down.
No.
Words to retain it.
No. Nevuah needs the time, say over the prophecy. Say it. And maybe have a tradition, just like Hazinu, every child should memorize it. Maybe the rabbis will know it, but who said you should write it down? Vakati kasha, says Tosus, but we still have a question. Taminan beperkam mune besechet yoma. It says in chapter Hamimune, in tractate yoma, Nimshila estel la yelet ha-shachar. Chazal learned that Megillas Esther. Esther is alluded to in the chapter of Lamnatzecha Le'el Toshachah. I see some of the guys are screaming. So. I don't want anyone to freeze. Why is Esther compared to Le'el Toshachah? Ma Shachar Sof HaLaila, just like the dawn is the end of the night, Af Estel Sof HaNisim, so to Esther is the end of miracles. Uparich, so the Talmud asks, Veika Chanukah? What do you mean? There's still the miracle of Chanukah. Umshani nitan liketev kamar. So the Gemara says, what we meant is Esther is the last miracle that God wanted recorded in writing. So the Gemara over there asks, okay, that makes sense, according to the opinion that says that Esther was given with the commandment that it should be written, but according to the opinion that says Esther was given without a commandment that it should be written. So how do you explain that Esther is the end of miracles? You can't say it was the last miracle given to be written if you hold that it was not given to be written. Mukim laki Rabbi Binyamin bar Yefet the Bachetz ve'en lomar da'ad mitan likatev midrabanan kariktiva. You can't say that what the Gemara over there means it was given to be written midrabanan. Tim ken hada kushya leduchta da'ika Chanukah shnitna lichtov midrabanan b'mgilat ta'anit. Because Chanukah rabbinically was also written down in Megillas Tanis. We discussed Megillas Tanis. You guys remember? Yeah? Okay. V'tirei etzarav Rabbi Elchanan. Okay. Megillat Tanit, in a nutshell, during the period of the Second Temple, they had many miracles, and they made a record of those miracles, and they made an institution of... maybe 90 holidays. They had a holiday, at least one holiday every week. What were these holidays? These were holidays in which they'd commemorate. On this day, we were saved from this attack. On this day, the courts overcame the tzedukim on this fight. On this day, this great thing happened in the temple or in the building of the temple. And they, in the beginning of the Second Temple, they had so many miracles, so many times that God came in and saved them from destruction, that they made a holiday for each one, and almost every week they had another holiday. Now these holidays weren't holidays in which they'd sing and dance and say hallel. Most of the holidays were just holidays that they'd say no fasting on this day, no eulogizing on this day. This is a day in which God made a miracle. You're supposed to be happy. You don't eulogize or fast.
So
okay, so this even though it was a period of the second Beit HaMikdash, where none of the oral law was being written, this they wrote down, and they called it Megillat Ta'anit, the Megillah of when you don't fast. So he says, the Gemara says, Esther is the end of miracles. The Gemara says, what about Hanukkah? The Gemara says, no, I meant the end of the miracles that are written. you'll say, what about, the Gemara asks, what about the opinion that says Esther wasn't given to be written down? And you cannot say that Esther was the last miracle written down means the last miracle written down even rabbinically. Because if you're talking about rabbinically written down, Hanukkah was also written down rabbinically in Megillat Ta'anit. So, v'tiretz rav... Huh? Yeah, so... V'tiretz rav rabbeinu Elchanan, d'ktivat demgillah mehan yatfei. He says, nonetheless, the Megillah is more is something more serious that can be called that the miracle was written down. Because Megillas Esther we treat like a real book of Tanakh. The Torah must be sewn up with sinews. A Sefer Torah that's sewn up with thread is possible, right? Halacha Moshe Sinai, it has to be sewn up with gidim, with sinews. Same thing with the books of Nevi'im and Ketuvim. We have to sew them up with sinews. Now, even if you'll say that Megillas Esther, the Megillah, the writing on parchment, is a rabbinic institution, we see that they instituted that it's on a higher level than anything else that's written down. You want to write down a Megillas Tanis, you can go to any good bookstore. For $5, you could get yourself a little pamphlet with Megillat Tanit. There's no halacha as to how it should be written. It's just a record of what they said. But Megillas Esther, you need Gidin. If you're going to sew it up, you sew it up with sinews. You need Siltut. You have to scratch in lines that the sofer writes on in the Sefer Torah also. And the Megillah, Chazal made all kinds of institutions like it were a work of Tanakh. So even if you say it's only rabbinic, the institution to write down Megillat Esther, nonetheless it's a more serious writing with laws of how you write it down. And as such, Megillat Esther, that's considered the last miracle that was recorded rabbinically. And you cannot compare it to the writing of Megillat Ta'anit or the recording of the Nes of Chanukah. Now, Megillat Antiyachus and Megillat Hashmonaim, we don't know exactly who wrote that down. We don't know if it has any validity. We learn it here. It's all online. We don't know who wrote it down. We don't know if it has any validity. No. No. Okay. Now, the rule is when you learn something, until you've learned it four times, you haven't learned it. And until you've learned it, you shouldn't be midayek. You shouldn't start nitpicking. First understand what you've read. So really, we should review Tosfos four times. But our goal here is not only to cover ground, but also to get tools. So I want to point out something to you, which really, it's premature to point out. I want you to be aware of the concept. With time, you'll start learning things and reviewing them, and then you should notice things like this. Let's reread Tosfos. We said that the Megillah ne'emra likrot ve'lo lichtov. Shmuel must hold that the Megillah, even though it was given in prophecy, was given as something that should be read, but not written. God did not say it should be written. So far, so good. Says Tosfos, Mashma de Saval de Mutal Likrot al Peh. It seems that he holds that you could read it by heart. What is the word Mashma doing there? Mashma means it seems. What do you mean it seems? You have any other way of understanding the Gemara? What does it mean it seems? How else do you understand? So that should bother you. A word like that. I think that if it would say mashmalan,
imply.
But mashma, I think, usually means implied, though. I think it usually means implied.
You're saying it's not even implications, it's obvious.
I think that if Tosfos uses the word mashma, it indicates that Tosfos was considering another understanding in the Gemara.
I don't know how to say that, but I heard, you know, mashma means
that's when you have kamashma lan. Yeah, mashma could mean.
Why mashma, you know, maybe it's different how to speak, I don't know.
I think it means implied, but maybe I'm wrong. I think that mashma in Tosfos and in Gemara, I think so. But we have to check. Okay, let's go back to Gemara. Okay, that's a major Tosfos. What? You want an answer?
I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, Imbaya. That was the question, okay. You see, a word like mashma and Tosfos, you have to stop and say, wait a second, what was Tosfos telling me? Mashma means it seems. So what's the alternate? If we were learning more in depth, we'd open other Rishonim, we'd see what our alternate understandings. If it's mashma, it seems, that means that there's... If it seems that way, it means it might be otherwise. Well, how otherwise?
I'm not so certain. I'm not 100% certain. That's what they...
When I say, what you say seems to mean that you mean this, that means I'm entertaining two understandings in what you said. I don't see two understandings in this Gemara. Tosa says this seems this way. Well, what other way did Tosa have to understand? Why does it only seem? I'm not sure I'm right. I think in Tosas that's what it means. I think so, but I'm not sure. We'll see. Slowly, guys, slowly. Let's see. Okay. Okay, there's... We're not learning Tosas now. Okay, back to the Gemara. Where were we up to? Remembers?
Two dots.
That's a good place to start. Okay. Tani Rav Yosef. You guys have it? Bottom of the page? Two lines from the bottom. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught the following Braita. It says in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther that the Jews agreed to institute Purim and make these days as days of drinking, happiness, umishloach manot ish l'reyev, and sending ready-made food one man to his friend. We understand that to mean shtei manot, two types of ready-made food, leish echad, to one man, ish l'reyehu, to his single friend. So that was the institution. Every person gives two forms of ready food to one friend. Okay? The pasuk says, umatanot le'evyonim, and gifts to the poor. Evyonim is plural. Shtei matanot, two gifts, l'shnei bnei adam, to two people. Each one gets one gift. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, which was Rebbe's grandson. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is Rebbe. He had a grandson, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. His opinion was sometimes thrown into the Mishnah. Sometimes his friend said, well, yeah, you said something so good, we're throwing you into the Mishnah. They'd stick him into the Mishnah. But usually not. Usually he's already the generation of Amoran. Huh?
It's really good because today, the first time I met in the morning, is Rabbi Yehuda Nesia.
Huh? Just like we have Hillel. And we're okay. Weiter. There's Rabbi Hillel, there's Hillel Anasi, and there's Hillel Nesia. Who? Rabbi Yehuda Nesia? Is Rabbi's grandson. Correct. Shadale l'Rav Oshaya Itma de Igla Tilta Vegalva de Chamra. So he's sending a gift. He's taking the best calf he has. You know, the animal, when it's young and it gives birth, the children are weaker and smaller, and by the time he gives birth to its third calf, then the animal's already strong, and that's considered the best. So he sent that, and I don't know what's Atma. What do they translate Atma? Yarech. Okay. The thigh of a third calf, and galva de chamra, and a flask of wine. Shalach lei, so he sent back word. Kiyamta banu rabbeinu, Rabbi, you fulfilled with us. Umishloach manot ish l'reyehu, umatanot le'evyonim. He sent them two things: a thing to eat, a thing to drink. So he said, you did mishloach manot ish l'reyehu. Now the question is, do you also have the words umatanot le'evyonim? The Gra takes that out. If we would have that included, then it would be a big chiddush in the Gemara that if you give the poor a good meal, you did both. But if you take it out, like the Gra takes it out, like Rashi seems to take it out, then it's just a record of a story that don't think that you have to send them two types of food. You could send them food and drink. Yeah?
You sent him three.
No, he sent them a thigh of a calf and a thing of wine.
A flask of wine?
Yeah.
Galva de chamra.
Galva is like a flask of chamra of wine. Chamra, chamra. Chamra is beer?
Chamra is wine.
Chamra is wine.
Shtachna is wine. Lashon Adom.
Chamra is Adom? Yeah?
Since, you know, Chamra is Adom in Aramaic and Arabic.
And Aramit, I don't know, Chamar is a dog.
Really? Well, like, Chamar, there's a couple of in Tanakh Horaot that Chamar is used as a dog.
I don't remember, okay?
Rabba
Shadale Lemari Barmar Beyad Abaye. Rabba became the chief rabbi. You guys remember the story how Rabba became chief rabbi? It was either Rabba or Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, him first. I'm told I'm going to die after I become chief rabbi. Let him be chief rabbi first. So Rabba became chief rabbi. And one of his disciples was Abaye, his adopted son, right? Rabba brought up Abaye when Abaye was orphaned. Abaye was orphaned at childbirth. Rabba brought him up, Rabba Bar Nachmani. So he sends Abaye with Mishloach Manos to marry Bar Mar. And what does he send him? Male Taska Dekashva. He sends him a sack filled with dates. Umale Kasa Kamcha Davshona. Like a full thing of dry, sweet flour. Amale Abaye. Abaye says to his Rebbe, adoptive father, he says to Rabba, Ashta Amar Mari, you know what Mari is going to say about you if this is what you're sending him now that you're chief rabbi? If a farmer became king, Dikula Mitzavare Lo Nachid, he still goes around with the same basket he's used to going. So, you know, you became Rosh Yeshiva, and all you're sending him is plain foods. You're sending him dates, you're sending him flour. You're Rosh Yeshiva, you should send him better stuff than that. Okay. Hadar Shadale Ihu, so Mari Barmar sent back Mishloach Manos to Rabba. Male Taska de Zangvila, a thing filled with ginger. Umale Kasa de Pilpalta Aricha. And a flask, a cup filled with long pepper. Amar Abaye, Abaye comments, Hashta Amar. Now the rabbi is going to say, my Rebbe, my adoptive father, Rabba Bar Nachmani, Ana Shadli Le Chulia, Tehu Shadli Chufa, I sent him sweets, he sent me sharp. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Ki Nafki Mi Bein Ma, when I left the house of my Rebbe, when I left the house of the master, Rabba, Have a savanna. I thought I was full. Kimatai lehatam, when I came to marry Barmar, so karivu lishitin tzai, they placed before me 60 bowls. Tishitin mineik dera, that had 60 different types of cooked food in them. Vachli behu shitin pelugei, and I ate, he says, 60 halves. Ubishura batraita, and after I ate all of that, they brought me a last dish, havu karele tzlike dal, they called it pot roast. Bishula batraita, the last cooked food, the dessert, they called it tzlike dal, pot roast. Uvai lemechas tsa batra, and it was so yummy, I wanted to eat the plate after the roast. So I ate so much, and then I had so much room for dessert. I thought I was stuffed, and yet they brought me this dessert. I was ready to eat the plate after the dessert. Amar Abaye, Abaye tor, haynu damri inche. That's what people say. Kafinanya velo yada. The poor man is starving, and he himself doesn't know it. Until they bring him a decent meal, he doesn't know he's starving. You ask him, are you hungry? He says no. You start feeding him, so he'll eat and eat and eat and eat. He didn't even know he was that hungry. Inami, or else the thing we learn from here is Ravcha lebsima shchia. There's always room for sweets. So Ravcha lebsima shchia. There's always room in the stomach for sweets. That's why when I ask, do people have room for dessert? So there's always someone who says, what do you mean? Ravcha lebsima shchia. Of course we have room for dessert. Yeah. I'm the same way. I can't eat dessert very often. I can't eat it that way. Well, each one was sweet to him. You see what he liked was pot roast. He wasn't talking about something sweet. Yeah, it means matok, but matok doesn't have to mean matok. Matok could mean anything that you like.
Some
so I agree with this though.
I don't know. What?
So true. I don't know. It's like some way to fit something else in it. Really want to
feel. So now I'll be able to put the Gemara. Oh,
you just got to remember.
So you don't want to get any more main course.
Look, Abai only said it
like,
after.
Why are you doing it?
Abai only said it after they served it. He didn't ask for the food, right? Abai Baravin, Rav Chanina Baravin, Maklefesu Datayu La'adadi. They'd have an exchange of meals, meaning 1 year one would eat by the other and then they'd switch. And that's how they were Mekayim their Mishloach Manos. They'd host one another each year, a different one hosted. Amarava Mechayivinish Lebsume Bepuya. Rava says a person has to get drunk on Purim till he reaches the point that he cannot discern between what we say cursed is Haman to what we say blessed is Mordechai. Rabbi Rabbi Zeira, now the two rabbis, Rabbi and Rav Zeira, Avdu Sudat Purim Ba'adei Adadi, they made a feast of Purim together. Ivsum, so they did in accordance with Halacha, they got drunk. Kam Rabbi Shachtele Rav Zeira, Rabbi got up and slaughtered Rav Zeira. Lemachar, the next morning he got sober, so he felt bad. By Rachame, so he prayed. V'achi, he brought him back to life. So,
that
doesn't mean he literally died. Look at the In Yaakov. Look at the Maharsha. It doesn't seem to mean literally, but he kept feeding him another bottle. The guy was dead by the end of the night. Okay, he was stoned to the point where he was like dead. But look at the Marsha. You want? Okay, guys, let's turn back to the Marsha. There was it was a famous story. So we know that in the times of the Gemara, they did bring people back to life. They knew how. But nonetheless, the Marsha over here, the Marsha, the Meharsha, right? The Marsha. Rabbeinu Shmuel Eliezer Halevi Idols. Idos was his mother-in-law's name. That was his wife's name, wasn't his name. But he took his wife's name because she came from a very wealthy family. And her mother was a widow, a very wealthy widow, who funded his academy. So he took on her name. A lot of people, when they married into a big family, they took on the family's name. So also Rav Kook's son-in-law, Rav Kook Rav Ranan took on the name Kook. He had other people, this was common up until about 50 years ago. If you married into a big family, the husband took on her name. It was worth more than his name. So the Marsha wrote two works which are printed together. One is on Halacha and one is on Agadah. So the Marsha, if you open back here, Chidushi Agadot, you guys have it? Kam Rabba Shachtel Rav Zeira. It's in the back of the Gemara. Rabba got
it's
up, slaughtered Rav Zeira. That's all together. The Rashi print, the smaller print is Agadot, the big print is Halachot. They're printed together. It's all together. Davar tamur lefarsho kipashtei. He says it's a wondrous thing to explain it literally. That he means to say it was like he slaughtered him. The agberei chamrea, that he gave him so much wine. Vekafiyei lishtot yoter midai, and he pushed him to drink too much. Ad shechalav natal lamut. Until he became so sick from all the wine he kept feeding him that he was like on the verge of death. V'lekach na'akte v'lishon shchita. T'shtiyat ha'yayin nikra al shem ha'garon mekom ha'shchita. Etc. Okay. So he prayed the guy shouldn't die after all the wine he fed him. And that's why the Rishonim say that right after Rava tells us you got to get so drunk on Purim, the Gemara brings us a story that tells you what can happen if you get so drunk on Purim? To tell you, no, don't get so drunk on Purim. Look, Rav Zeira almost died from it.
But in Purim, they only sing the first part. So they sing the part of slaughtering.
People sing what they like to sing. A song is representative of what's going on inside a person, right?
It's very Minhag Israel already.
Okay. I don't know where I come from. It's not Minhag Israel. I never saw any rabbi get drunk. And I made sure to visit big rabbis on Purim. They drink. Two cups of wine, three cups of wine. But it says in the Ramah, more than he's used to on a weekday. How much do you drink on a weekday? I don't. You drink maybe one cup if you have something nice. So two cups, you already did what it says. So that's why the Gemara follows up with a story to tell you, even among big rabbis, what could happen if you drink too much. So by Rachmei V'Achei, he asked for mercy, prayed over him, and he brought him back to life. However, you'll understand that. L'shana, the next year came around, Amale, Sarabba comes to Rav Zera and says to him, Neiti ma v'nevit sudat puim ba'de adadi. Come, Rabbi, let's make the meal together. Neiti kam mar. Now, whenever you find the word mar in the Gemara, it is indicative that the other one was Rebbe to that one. Meaning people, when they refer to one another, the student called the Rebbe mar, just like Abaye called Rabba. There is an exception between Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, like master. Rav Yosef refers to Rabba as Mar, even though it doesn't seem that Rabba was Rav Yosef's Rebbe, but it is probably just indicative of the fact that Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva. He was the chief rabbi, so he called him Mar. And also Rav Yosef didn't want anyone to get confused. He wanted everyone to know that he was treating Rabba as the Rosh Yeshiva. Even though in Israel they had voted he should be Rosh Yeshiva, he didn't want there to be any room for any questions. Rabba is the Rosh Yeshiva. So he belittled himself. Throughout the years, those 20 years, Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef acted in kind, like he was a simple person. So there, it might not be because Rabba was Rav Yosef's Rebbe, but it could be an indication of something else. So here, Rabba says to Rav Zeira, and this is an indication, if you want to know the relationship between them, let the rabbi, let the master come, and evit sudat puim ba'de adadi. Let's have the meal of Purim together again. Amale, he said, no. I'm not sure I'll make it out alive this year. You can't count on a miracle every time. Okay, so that's the end of that story. You don't have a miracle whenever you want one. Last year I made it out alive. I'm not risking it again this year. Amar Rava, Sudat Purim. If you ate the meal of Purim at night, the person has not fulfilled his obligation. My taima, what's the source for this? It says in the verse, Yemei Mishteve Simcha Ktiv. It says days of festive meals and rejoicing. Mishte means a festive meal. So it says days of festive meals. So the festive meal, the Sudas Purim, must be by day. Zavashi Aviyativ Kamei. The Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi was sitting before Rav Kahana. And one of these days I'm going to have to discover what those words mean. I don't know what it means to be sitting before someone. Does it mean he was a student before him?
That's throughout.
I know. There are a lot of words throughout Chas. I don't know what they mean. So let's just notice that what we do know and what we don't know.
When you teach a shir downstairs, you're not sitting at the Rosh HaKita and everybody's sitting behind him.
Yeah, but Yativ Kamei is sometimes indicative, it would seem, that he was a student. Mm-hmm. But if we go with the Girsa of the Shiltos of Rav Chaigon in this Gemara, that he was sitting in front of a Meimar, we find throughout the Shas that a Meimar was like a disciple by Rav Ashi. So it would be difficult to say a Meimar. Yeah, the Shiltos has a Girsa over here that Rav Ashi was sitting before a Meimar. Now, a Meimar is the name in Amora, who lived in Ravashi's time, and it seems like throughout the Shas, Amimar is asking Ravashi questions. It seems like Ravashi is his Rebbe. So to say that Ravashi is sitting in front of the Rebbe doesn't seem like... So we have to check. This is a question I have for a few years now. One of these days we'll find someone who answers it. Divrei Torah, aniyim b'makom echad, asherim b'makom acher. You have to have patience in Torah.
Maybe
it wasn't aware that it's not to be understood literally. It just
maybe it's,
came and stood and spoke in front of.
Just one second, yeah.
Maybe it's Zeh Nochach Zeh.
Maybe.
One sitting,
So that's along lines that Yosef is saying. I don't buy it, guys.
No?
If the Braisa says, Ta Shema, come in here, then that's telling me something. Why am I coming? Where am I coming? When it says, Tse Ulmad, go out and learn, it's indicating something else. These words have exact meaning. We don't have a good enough tradition. We have to search, discover what they mean. But eventually we'll discover. There are words that I was wondering about for years. But as time goes on, you discover it. Okay. I don't think so. So, Rav Ashi Aviyativ Kamei to Rav Kahana, and there were at least two and probably three Rav Kahanas in the Shas. There was a Rav Kahana who was the first generation of Amoraim. That's not this Rav Kahana, because Rav Ashi is the last generation of Amoraim. So he didn't live 300 years, right? And there was a Rav Kahana at the end in Rav Ashi's time, and there was probably at least one Rav Kahana in between, at least, if not two. Tosus points this out, but you could also see it clearly from the Gemara. The Gemara in Moed Katan treats Rav Kahana almost like a Tana. The Gemara treats Rav Kahana and Rashi over there, that isn't Rashi, Rashi and Moed Katan is not Rashi. Rashi over there points out that Rav Kahana was so great that no Amora would argue on him. So that's an early Rav Kahana.
But we never read it. We don't read the parentheses.
Okay, so let's read it without the parentheses. Rav Ashi Aviyativ Kameh. Rav Ashi was sitting in front of nothing. Naga, over here it doesn't work, right? Okay, so I guess we have to.
Right. Here it's
I don't know, you're right. Usually we don't read the round parentheses. Naga, it got late. Veloatu Rabbanan, and the rabbis, the students didn't come. Amalei, so he said to him, my taima lo atu Rabbanan. Look, one of the things you guys, I hope we'll learn, if there's one thing I hope you'll learn from our learning together, it's to say, I don't know. When I was engaged to my wife, so her friends made this game where they'd ask me 20 questions and they'd ask her 20 questions, and then they test her if she knows the answers. I gave those questions. What's his favorite color, right? So one of the questions they asked was, what's the sentence he says most? So they asked me, what sentence do you say most? I said, I don't know. That's the sentence I say most. Guys, I think you have to learn to say, I don't know.
I don't know, right? Well, you don't want to get to the argument, I don't know.
Guys, but I want you to see, when you'll notice what you don't know, then with time you'll notice when it's answered. We used to have a class here in Machon Meir on Parsha, 45 minutes asking questions on the Parsha, just questions. Now, you could understand that it had very low attendance because it got in guys' nerves. Because, well, no, give us an answer. I don't know. You don't remember? That was the methodology class.
I was never here.
Okay.
Before I came, and I was constantly...
No, because no one comes.
Like everybody. I was like, when are we going to start the session?
But the truth is, the key to understanding is first recognizing what you don't know. That's a tremendous key also in Gemara. So you got to first identify the questions. I was sitting with my chavrusa this morning. We had a sugiyah, so we both said, we don't understand what's going on. So I said, okay, but let me clarify what I don't understand. So I sat for 15 minutes writing down a list of questions. What don't I understand about what I'm reading here? I agree, I don't understand, but let me understand what I don't understand. So here, let's go back to the Gemara.
Naga.
It got late.
It's Naga. I don't know if it's Naga Ho. Like,
yeah, that's from the Shosh Noga, but here it's not.
Maybe
Naga in Aramaic.
It's not possible that it was like they were meeting before the Zricha.
Could be, yeah. Could be.
It became late,
right? Could be, but throughout the Shas, Naga is used as it got late, but it could be that as the day proceeds and the sun gets stronger, that's also called Naga, it's getting later. Could be that's why it could be it's the same.
It is repeatedly used generally just getting late.
Yeah. Naga veloatu rabanan. It got late, and the rabbis didn't come to learn. Amalei my time veloatu rabanan. Said, why aren't the rabbis coming? Now it was Purim day. He's sitting. Them two are sitting in the academy learning, and there's no one around. So he says, why isn't anyone coming? Amalei. So he said, dilma tride besudat Purim. Maybe they're all busy having the meal of Purim. So it's already 9 o'clock in the morning, and no one's come Purim morning to come learn. So he says, why isn't anyone here yet? 9 o'clock, it's so late. He says, maybe they're busy eating. Wait, couldn't they have eaten it last night? If they're having such big Purim meals, let them eat it last night. But we by 9 o'clock in the morning on Purim, we should be learning. And now you guys know what the word mar indicates. Hasn't the rabbi heard? He's calling him rabbi. Hadama Rava, that which Rava taught, Sudat Purim Shachela Balaila, Lo Yatzai Dechavato, if he ate the meal of Purim at night, he did not fulfill his obligation. Lo Yatzai Yedei Chavato is indicative B'dieved. Even B'dieved Lo Yatzai Yedei Chavato. He hasn't fulfilled the minimum obligation. Yatzai means he fulfilled the minimum obligation. Maybe there's a better way of doing it. Yatzai means he fulfilled his obligation. Not necessarily mitzvah min amufar. He was yotze. He did his minimum. Lo yatza means he didn't even do the minimum. Lo yatza yedei chovato. I don't know what that means. He did not fulfill the hands of his obligation. What is yad? What is yedei? Yedei means the extension of. Right? Yedei, like yad kli. You have the vessel, you have yad kli, you have the handle of the vessel. When you have the Mishnah that says, this trade is mevi'ah li yedei, means it brings you to the handle of. It brings you like, you're within grasp of taking hold of the next midah. This is mevi'ah li yedei, means it brings to the hands of, it brings to the handle of. Yes? Good. This is a pshat Rav Pesach Zatzal told me for about 10 years. And after 10 years, I found it in Rav Chaim Ivelozhin's explanation on Pirkei Avos. It says it beferish. And he didn't know that. Sorry. He knew it from somewhere else.
I was just thinking about how I've been hearing this concept for so long and I never actually asked what's the date of it.
Oh.
So what again? What does it mean?
Lidei means to the handle of, right near.
Okay.
Meaning, over here, I don't know what it means. Lo yatsa, I know what lo yatsa means.
Okay.
Why do you have the extra two words? Lo yatsa, yedei, chovato, I don't know. Lo yodea, lo yodea, lo yodea.
Yedei has similar to lo yatsa?
There's lo yatsa, okay. And I know what that means.
Okay.
Then there's lo yatsa, yedei, chovato. I don't know what the words yedei, chovato give me more an understanding. The rule that the Malbim teaches us in his introduction to Sefer Yeshaya. The rule is, no two words mean the same thing in Lashon HaKodesh. Each word has nuances of differences, but they're different. And if you cannot discern between two words, you're missing the exact understanding of both. And the second rule is, if you omit it and you have the same understanding, then you don't understand it. No word is extra.
He's referring to individual words.
Correct.
Here we're talking about the bitui.
In Baya, but if you omit it and you maintain the same understanding, then you don't understand it. No word is extra. If it said lo yatsa yedei chovato, the word yedei chovato, those two words are teaching me something.
And yedei chovato by itself, what would it mean?
I don't know. I'm uncertain. The components I've given you. Now how you put them together, you figure it out as well as I can figure it out.
In the handle.
Yedei is like li yedei. It brings you right near. Yedei means like yad. It can also mean a place. Okay, let's try to finish to the Mishnah. Amale said to him, Amar Rava, hachi, really, Rava said that? I never heard that. Amalein, he said, yeah. So what's going on here? What's the to and fro? It's like, are you sure? Yeah. Okay. Guys, this isn't a tape recorder. The Gemara didn't just record a conversation. If the Gemara gives us these lines, that means the Gemara wanted us to learn something from these lines. This isn't a game. Each word here is teaching me something. Tana mine albein zimnin. So he reviewed it 40 times. V'damine kamande manach b'kisei. And it was as though it was placed in his pocket. So let's notice how they learned Shas. He tells them, the halacha is you cannot... If you ate the meal of Purim at night, you did not fulfill your obligation.
Okay.
Really, Rava said that? Yeah, Rava said that. Really? Okay, let me review that. How many times does he review it? Think about this halacha. 40 times. How complicated is this halacha? You eat the meal of Purim at night, Rava says you didn't fulfill your obligation. Okay, I could review that twice, three times. By the fifth time, I'm asking myself, what do I need to say? 40 times, that's how they learn. So if you ask yourself why they were geniuses and we're not... Because they killed themselves over this.
Well,
we don't.
The question is, we just repeat this up and write down. What is this? What is this? What is this?
Reviewed it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you ever repeat something at one shot 40 times?
I personally have, yeah.
Ah, good. So you know the point.
But I've had stuff that I really want to remember.
When you really, really, really want to acquire it, then you do it. Right.
The question is, say it out loud. You just
out loud.
Down.
A Gemara quoted in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, Hilchot Talmud Torah, one of the laws of learning Torah. If you want to remember what you learn, learn out loud. There was once an old man who did all his learning in quiet, and he forgot it all. Writing it down also helps, right? Okay, so that brings us to the next Mishnah, and we had a nice part of Agadita. Guys, get ready to work your brains out because the next few Gemarot are a little bit tough.
Amen.
And we will get back to Agadita in about 4 or 5 weeks. But the next 4 weeks, you're going to pay for all this easy Gemara. Now it's going to, these are the hard dafim of Megillah. The next three, right. The next three daf are the hard dafim of Megillah. The next two daf. No, these two pages. Two and a half. This is what's hard about Megillah. The rest of the Gemara, the rest of the Masechet is easy. This is where we got to work. No, so it's very good. We're going to work. Okay.